Blog Talk Radio.
Well, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron, and we're going to have a little bit of the Tornado Tony Pennycal on a little bit later for a full hour-long show. Tonight, we're going to have a little bit of bonus coverage since the actual show is not on here until 11. And right now, the Yankees and Phillies are winding down to the ninth inning. So we're going to hang in with some live coverage of the broadcast. Unfortunately, the Phillies just got out of the eighth with a bad double play they head into. Right when the show was about to begin, thought I was delivering some good news here, but we'll see what the Phillies can do at night, and see what happens.
Ground ball pitcher, so if you fly ball, they have a chance to retreat from the bases. So for once the king. You gotta sit the runners in that situation. Alfredo Aceves, shot, starts to loosen. It was a long inning for Rivera, 23-pitch, 8th inning. But he's had 3 days of rest. Aceves may be just getting his throwing in. Maybe much ado about nothing, as Mariano appears to be all right.
Yeah,
I would agree, because if you're Aceves, you're thinking, well, pitching change-wise, we're finished.
Yeah.
Unless it goes 16, 17 innings. The only way I can get it. So a swinging strike on Rodriguez. And meanwhile, Alex Rodriguez is 0 for 7 with 5 strikeouts against the Phillies in this World Series. Taking that pitch off the team. And it's two on with two out. Brett Gardner, who took over as a pinch runner last inning. With two outs, Sheriff's not a fast runner, and he stops in second. Here comes Rich Doobie, pitching coach. Here remind Brian Batson of the scouting report on Brett Gardner. Two on, two out, and Gardner could add to a two-run Yankee lead. Warner Brothers pitchers Invictus from director Clint Eastwood. Stars Matt Damon and Morgan Freeman. It's in theaters everywhere December 11th. Visit from Rich Doobie is finished. Brett Gardner, who had a chance of starting this game once, Nick Switzer went to the bench. Instead, he filled his usual role of a late inning, either pinch runner or defensive replacement. So far, 2-3 is postseason, swinging back. Strike one for Batson, 94 on the radar gun.
Okay, so that's a pretty long damn half inning there, 13 minutes into the show. Only going to another half inning or more if the Phillies scored it.
And they're ever going to make a movie.
Is there ever going to make a movie about the Phillies? Why did it have to be after John Wayne died? Because he would have been a perfect Charlie Manuel.
Committed a lot to his marketing, I think, is what made this happen.
did was, you know, they got this guy, he's all of a sudden, he's the new champion. He's known for karate, which is something that, you know, not too many mixed martial artists stand out for. It was a very unique situation. He's a very likable guy. He had a lot of promotional material out there before this event that it looked like they wanted to reuse, so I think they forced the hand a little bit. It was interesting. It was a 48-47 decision on all three cards. So that kind of made me go, what the hell is going on? How can that be possible? But Rampage Jackson also flipped out a little bit on his blog about it, and he said that, you know, all the people that are filming the movie, the A-Team with him, have been asking him about mixed martial arts and whether it's starting to get as corrupt as boxing has been in the past. And he's been ashamed to have to explain the sport to these guys, and what the UFC is doing he thinks is horrible. And you know, now that he's kind of outside the organization, he'll soon be back probably, but now that he's outside, he's throwing some pot shots, so it's going to get interesting. And a lot of fans are starting to whip out the conspiracy theories to the point of, my shit is coming back. You know, the Zion story has been recaptured and re-put out there by a bunch of people in the last few days.
Thank you. Somewhere.
But it just kind of really made me think about the whole picture. You know, here there's rumors talking about, the UFC is talking about putting up 10 to 15% of the organization in station casinos and all kinds of trouble. They're asking for another extension to reorganize. All this stuff is coming to a head right now. It's a bad economy. The UFC is not really expanding beyond the United States. You got the big threat of this, the latest reincarnation of Affliction with Strikeforce there. And the big CBS event coming up in November here with Fedor, Dana White's been talking a lot of smack about that. So, we'll see a big wake-up call for the UFC maybe over these next couple months, and we'll see what they're really made of, whether they're going to be hanging in there forever or, they're going to have some troubles. But, must have a fight or two coming up in boxing here or there. Africa fighting as a super featherweight, 12 rounder against David Arrieta. Providers have more than 35 wins. Cassius has 36 with 4 losses and 1 draw and 19 knockouts. And Arrieta has 34 wins, 14 losses, and 4 draws, 16 knockouts. Good fight. If you didn't get to see it, I know it's on our YouTube, the Russian YouTube over there in Russia. Jamie Moore versus Ryan Rhodes. It happened on the 23rd of October. And it's on our YouTube. I got it from the MMA TV network there where they rarely put up boxing matches, but they put that one up because it's a hell of a company. Definitely check that out if you get a chance. Here's a good one. Hector Camacho Jr.
Oh,
yes, how good. Yes. He's from Ramon Campos.
Yes, you're a good chance now. You can see Hector Jr.'s father, Hector's student, just does the draw.
Yeah.
And he got a lot of focus for revenge of his son. I refuse to watch. I don't see the American. But what makes the difference here is Junior being so much tougher, so much faster. He's certainly coming to fight. Yeah. He's coming to fight. He's done as much as you have been around for the Yankee jersey, Rich. So
I think
your father tried to run the slapping wrong.
It's at late middleweight, and they do have a lot of other good fights in the card. Not spectacular, but it's interesting. It's on in demand, United States Dish Network, United States Direct TV, United States TV, and Canada Super Channel. So it's something that they think people are going to want to see anyway. It's happening in El Paso, Texas, and Hector Jr. is 49-3 with 1 draw, 27 knockouts, and Luis Ramon Campos 92-14 with 1 draw and 74 knockouts. Annabelle Ortiz, who's 3-1. She has versus DBA, Dana Maria Torres, is putting her WBC female super flyweight title on her grass. She's 19-3 with two draws, and Maria is going to be in the local convention on Saturday. In fact, on Saturday in Mexico. 25-0 guy fighting a 16-2 guy down in Yucatan, flyweight.
Okay.
BFN Wild Bill's like 1923 in Georgia. And Halloween night, that's White Night at the Plaza Toro Kiko in Mariari, Costa Rica. The Heroes Fighting Championship in Santa Maro, Santa Catarina, Brazil. And SC4 Bad Intentions in Stockholm, Sweden. Christ, and then on the 1st of November, we also have 3 events, all in Japan, next to Japan, one in Germany. Antokok is going on in Germany, Magdeburg. Heat 12 is in Aichi, Japan, and then Spot 30 is at Gold's Gym in South Tokyo, and Aichi, Tokyo. That's about it for upcoming events. Discussions. One thing I did want to mention was I just did get a chance to watch the 24/7 episode of Cotto versus Pacquiao. But one thing that really stuck out about it, without giving too much away, is that Cotto has a new trainer that doesn't seem to have very much experience. The reason he seems to be training Cotto is because he gets a lot. I never knew about like the simple tension between Cotto and his former trainer that involved being thrown through his windshield by this guy. And they were a family too, I think. So it's very disturbing stuff. Now he's fighting one of the biggest fights in his life, a guy, Joe Martinez or something, who was a protege of his old trainer.
Sheet, of course. This one guy had a bout sheet at my table, and then he left, so I was like, screw this.
no way I'm getting these names. So I figured I'd just wait for the results, and it's taken me like, you know, 3 or 4 days here just to get the results. But I'm proud and happy to report that if you go to our YouTube page, Vectors Unlimited on YouTube, or if you do a search for Brandon Capiello versus Anthony Jose Rivera, 136 people have already seen it. It's really loud. So turn it down before you watch it. Sure, this was the, obviously, like, the main event. It happened in the middle of the night. It was, like, the 12th out of 28 fights, so they made sure to have all his family there. It was, Brandon Capiello is, I guess, the, his father is Richie Capiello. Uncle is Mike Capiello. Mike is the trainer, former fighter. Richie is the guy we were supposed to have all on the week before this, last week, right? For Combs? Yeah, so he ended up being... I have a problem with his phone or something. I saw him at the event, and then, you know, I ended up filming his son's fight, and his son was fighting Jose Rivera's son. What's the guy's name? And so it was supposed to be, you know, a really good fight, and I didn't even actually realize it until I watched it again. It started off very slow. It seemed to me like it was over in a second. It started in a second, but then I watched it again. It kind of starts off a little slow, but then Brandon just comes out nowhere. And I just kind of wanted to ask his father afterwards, like, what the hell did you say to him? He just comes out like ball busters and just never stops throwing punches and just overwhelms the kid. And I don't even know whether he landed anything solid or, you know, hard enough to shake the kid, but he kept getting so many standing eight counts, he just waved off at the end of the round. So he was really the only first round knockout in the whole thing that I saw. And just whole crowd there for him. You know, this other kid, Jose Rivera's kid, came out from Worcester, so he's got no friends out here in the Boston area. And got it really handed to him. I mean, there was nothing he could do. He didn't look good at all. Didn't really have any kind of edge whatsoever. He did complain a lot about, you know, having all those standing eight counts, but he took a lot of shots, so it's kind of just. At the same time, I'd like to see Brandon a little more tested, you know, see where he goes. I know that he's interested in hip-hop and all that kind of thing, so he might not choose to go to boxing full-time, but I definitely think he's got some promise. And he is a direct descendant of Rocky Marciano himself, so you never know. Never know. So, I guess he'd probably be around a lightweight. I don't know, I forget what the exact weight was, but definitely be pretty good. It doesn't seem like he's, you know, like a 24-hour day, all I think about is boxing guy. And it seems like he's got a lot going on, but if he focuses on, you know, on that and really gets in shape for it, I think, you know, he can go really far with it. And, you know, he got that kind of background in the family and the support. And I was around his grandmother and his aunts and uncles. I mean, everybody was around when I was sitting. You know, so I kind of got to see the whole family support system there. And, you know, it's just great for the city of Brockton that these guys are able to put something like that together and have that for a main event. It's the third generation for them, boxing. So that's great. And, you know, hopefully I'll be in it next year if I get my act together more, you know, if I don't become a pro by then. Maybe I'll be able to get it in there. I did see my sparring partner at the event, so got to relive that mess of getting my ribs broken. It was funny, I walked by him and, you know, at that point I was still trying to cover every fight. You know, I was taking a break between the fights and I ended up running into him. You know, so I started chit-chatting and I tell him I broke my ribs. He had no idea. I figured everybody would have told him, you know. Like, my trainers love to tell people when I get hurt, you know. They love to give away all my secrets, but he didn't know, so it was kind of funny. He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry," and I was like, "No, you're not." There you go. I would have done it to you if I could. But he ended up having some trouble with some kid a little bit after I last boxed him, and then he TKO'd somebody just the other day before I talked to him. So hit him in the body with a good body shot and then popped him right in the nose. TKO. So he's got some problems, this kid. I still kind of rubbed it in his face and he kept hitting me in the head, but well, I asked him what his weight was. That was the thing that really wanted to get to. How much are you weighing? Because this kid is much taller than me. He seemed like he was much heavier. I don't know. Like he has hollow bones or what, but he's saying he's 185. What? I don't know how it's possible. I'm about 189 now, and that's after being sick for 2 days. I don't get it. But, I don't know, I think we're running out of stuff to talk about. I want to get off to watch the Phillies. And speaking of Philly, I wanted to ask you, since we're in the mood and it's baseball season and all that, at the end of the year, the series is obviously eventually going to have to come to Philly. Where do people go to get the best cheesesteaks in Philly, in your opinion?
It's hard.
Gino's or Pat's. I know that much, right? No? Neither one? Neither one? No one. You avoid the baby?
I'm going to give you a tip. I'll show you a few tips.
I remember the first day I was a cop, I'm
Plymouth, Massachusetts, here, mixed martial arts fight, now the border.